भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। बिफोर रिसाइटिंग दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम विच इज द वेरी मीन्स ऑफ कॉन्क्वेस्ट, वन शुड ऑफर रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Naranarayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, the author. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So we welcome all devotees to this morning's program from Srimad Bhagavatam. Today's verse we read is from 3rd Canto, 2nd chapter, and the verse should be verse 14. Yasya Nuraga Plutaha Sarasa Leela Valoka Pratilabdha Manaha Vrajastriyo Drig Biranu Pravritta Diyo Vatastu Kila Kritya Sheshaha Yasya Nuraga Plutaha Sarasa Leela Valoka Pratilabdha Manaha Vrajastriyo Drig Biranu Pravritta Diyo Vatastu Kila Kritya Sheshaha Yasya Nuraga Plutaha Sarasa Leela Valoka Pratilabdha Manaha Vrajastriyo Drig Biranu Pravritta Diyo Vatastu Kila Kritya Sheshaha. Prabhuji's. Mataji's.
Yes,
Astu kila kritya sheshaha. Yasya anuraga plutaha sarasa. Lila valoka pratilabdhamanaha. Vrajastriyodrig bihanu pravitta. Diyo vatastu kila kritya seshaha. Yasya. Whose? Anuraga. Attachment. Pluta. Enhanced by. Hasa. Laughter. Rasa. Humors. Leela. Pastimes. Avaloka. Glancing. Pratilabdha. Obtain thereof. Manaha. Anguished. Vrajastriyaha. Damsels of Vraja. Drigbihi. With the eyes. Anupravritta. Following. Diyaha. By intelligence. Avatastuhu. Said silently. Kila. Indeed. Krityasheshaha. Without finishing household duties. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. The damsels of Vraja, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow Him with their eyes. And thus, they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. Please hear the purport. In His boyhood at Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was notorious as a teasing friend in transcendental love to all the girls His age. His love for them was so intense that there is no comparison to that ecstasy. And the damsels of Vraja were so much attached to Him that their affection excelled that of the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Lord Krishna finally admitted His defeat before the transcendental affection of the gopis and declared that He was unable to repay them for their unalloyed affection. Although the gopis were seemingly anguished by the Lord's teasing behavior, when Krishna would leave them, they could not tolerate the separation and used to follow Him with their eyes and minds. They were so stunned by the situation that they could not finish their household duties. No one could excel them. No one could excel Him, even in the dealing of love exchanged between boys and girls. It is said in the revealed scriptures that Lord Krishna personally never goes beyond the boundary of Vrindavana. He remains there eternally because of the transcendental love of the inhabitants. Thus, even though He is not visible at present, He is not away from Vrindavan for a moment. Such a beautiful purport. This verse, you know, these verses, when we chant them, if we really put our heart and we chant, you find that the verses themselves, without even understanding their meaning, they become so relishable. Why? Because Krishna is known as the wanderer. In Sanskrit, Krishna is known in the verses, in the fifth canto, it is stated by the residents of Jambudvip that Krishna is the wanderer in between the verses. He's actually in the verses. That's why every single shloka in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is non-different from Krishna. So when we chant these verses and we chant them with devotion, we chant them with sincerity, you will find that even without understanding the full import of the verses, still by chanting them lovingly, so much potency can be gained. So actually we are indebted to Srila Prabhupada for giving us Bhagavatam, for giving us all these shlokas. Because in our lifetime, with our kind of life, we would never be able to touch these verses. And even if we did, we would do them with speculation. But because Prabhupada has given them according to parampara, so even when we chant these verses, as long as we are trying to chant with devotion, Krishna always helps us. That is why these processes of Bhagavatam and the study of our scriptures should never be done mechanically. They should never be done because they are rituals. every time we do them, even if we have little time in between, we should do them with our heart. Once we do them with our heart, then we find that devotional service becomes awakened. Actually, in this way, despite all the difficulties of the material world, Krishna actually gives us time. He gives us opportunities to become devoted. So that's why this Bhagavatam readings become essential for us. So whatever happens, Prabhu's Matajis, we should not leave the shelter of Prabhupada, and please don't leave the shelter of studying his books. We should become very, very particular to put aside time for Prabhupada. In this verse, you find that the remembrance of Lord Krishna is continuing. And here, you find that the emphasis is on remembering Krishna in his pastimes with the damsels of Raja. They are known as the gopis. In fact, all sastras agree that of all the great devotees of the Lord, the gopis occupy an exalted position. They are considered to be foremost in their devotional service. Prabhupada says in the purport, that their love for Krishna excelled even the great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. This is the greatness of the gopis. And the reason for it is very simple. It is found in 1.2.6 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pumsam paro dharmo, yathor bhakti radoksaje, ahaituki apratihata, yeyatma suprasidati. Suprasidati means to become satisfied. Yeyatma refers to Atma. So the point that we must understand is, we can only become satisfied in life if we render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the first starting point of our devotional service. All dissatisfaction will go when we make devotional service the main occupation of our life. Everything else should revolve around the devotional service. If devotional service becomes a component of our life, then it will not give us satisfaction. But the difference between the gopis and many other devotees is that their devotional service was ahaituki apratihata, meaning it was unmotivated and therefore it was uninterrupted. If we want to perform devotional service continuously for the pleasure of Krishna, as the gopis did, we have to understand why they could do that. Because Krishna's will always overrides our will. That's why he's known as the supreme will. If Krishna wants only, we can perform any action in this world. Every action, even that of an atheist, has to ultimately get the sanction of the Lord, even if it is through the stringent laws of material nature. But for the devotee, Krishna becomes completely under the greatness of a devotee when the devotee performs devotional service without motivation. This is very important. Without motivation doesn't mean we are not motivated to perform devotional service. We are highly motivated to perform devotional service, but the motive for it is not for our own selfish reasons. Meaning to say, we don't do devotional service to get something material from Krishna. We don't do it because, Krishna, I'm doing it, but actually I don't love you so much, but I heard, you know, from everyone that if I do this for you, then I will get all these things. That is not relationship, Prabhupada says. So that's why it's very important that the gopis were the masters of uninterrupted service because they were completely unmotivated. You all know that famous story in Dwarka. One day Krishna wanted to show the Dwarka residents the greatness of the gopis. Because the Dwarka residents were very accustomed to having Krishna all the time. So all the time they begin to think that we are so fortunate and we are the highest inhabitants of the entire spiritual world because Krishna is with us. Krishna stayed in Dwarka how many years? Yeah, he crossed 100 years. You know? He spent a lot of time in Dwarka. In fact, he spent very little time in Vrindavan, according to Leelas. Here, of course, Prabhupada ends by saying he never left Vrindavan. But factually, when you look at the pastimes in terms of timing, from our material point of view, Krishna was spending a lot of time in Dwarka. He was at least 100 years old in Dwarka. So the residents thought Krishna was very much attached to them. Then one day what happened was, Krishna had a headache. Or at least he pretended to have a headache. So when Krishna lay down and had a headache, all the residents of Vrindavan, the residents of Dwarka, they came. The queens of Dwarka, they came. All the courtiers and servants of the Lord, they came. And they asked, "My Lord, how to get rid of this headache?" So Krishna said, "I can only get rid of this headache, not with any cure of the medicine type. No, that cannot happen. But the headache goes if I get the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees." So then what happened was Narada Muni, who was in Dwarka, he moved around the whole Dwarka. And he looked around and asked all the devotees in Dwarka, Krishna is having headache. So in order for us to serve the Lord, can I have dust from your lotus feet? But every devotee hesitated. Because while they love Krishna very much, they also pointed out Narada that if I take the dust from lotus feet, the dust of my feet for Krishna, and Krishna puts it on his head, then I will go to hell. Because he's Krishna. And how can I do this to him? So Narada Muni did not only move in Dwarka, he moved all around the world. He went to see the devatas. He went to see all the great personalities. And all of them refused to. Then finally he came back to Krishna. And Krishna smiled and told him, you go back to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And there you go and see my dear friends, the gopis. And you tell them that I'm having headache. And you see what they do. So Narada went back to Vrindavan. And there he met the gopis. When the gopis saw him, they were very anxious. And they asked him for news of Krishna in Dwarka. After becoming satisfied with the great pastimes of Krishna in Dwarka, the gopis asked him, why have you come? Is there anything we can do for Krishna? The gopis lamented to Narada Muni. Why? Because they said, we had so many years of the transcendental humors of laughter. We had so much of wonderful time with Krishna. But then suddenly, you know, he left us. And even though he promised that he will come back, every day goes by where we are waiting for him to come back, but the day has not come. But how is Krishna? And he said that, I'm sorry to inform you that Krishna is in critical condition. So what is happening to him? He's having a very bad headache. And the only cure is to get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. So gopis, I have come here to ask you for the dust. The gopis looked at each other and said, quickly, quickly, take the dust and give it to Krishna. And without wasting time, they collected dust from their feet. They stepped on every other part of Vrindavan they could and got some more dust. They collected bags of dust. And Narada was very surprised. Narada asked them, how is it that you're giving me bags of dust of your feet? Aren't you afraid that all this dust is going to definitely send you to hell? And the gopis said, we welcome hell as long as Krishna becomes better. What is hell? The gopis said, hell is only a state which we are living now. Why? Because we are separated from Krishna. So if anything we can do in separation, that will help, or it will put the Lord at ease, then you please take it. The gopis didn't mind if they went to hell. This is the greatness of the gopis. So this is unmotivated devotional service. And that is why they are the masters. If you read the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, very important chapter for us, and you read the 9th verse, purport, Prabhupada puts this point of the gopis in nice context. Prabhupada says, Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses. Please understand this point. The whole point of Bhakti Yoga is to purify our senses. Why? Because Prabhupada says, at the present moment, this material existence, the senses are always impure. That is why we are struggling. When our senses are pure, they are connected to Krishna, you find that our mind is very peaceful. When our senses are agitated, that means they are not connected to Krishna. That means, Bhagavad Gita says, they are not pure. Then they become engaged in sense gratification. Remember yesterday's Puranjana? Puranjana became so disturbed, he couldn't leave the city because all his life, he was just enjoying his senses. He never turned his senses to Krishna. And therefore, the higher enjoyment eluded him. And only lower enjoyment, which is temporary, he was having. So Prabhupada says in the purport, that by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, one can actually purify the senses. There is no need to do artificial work to get the senses purified. And in that purified state, this is important, the senses come in contact with the Supreme Lord. In the purified state of Bhakti Yoga, our senses become directly connected to Krishna. See this point? It's very important. That is why Brahma Sparshanam is there when we do deity worship. That's why Brahma Sparshanam, the touch of Krishna, is there when we hear Bhagavatam. At this moment, all our senses are towards hearing and seeing Krishna. So everything about us is engaged that way. Even though we may be tired because yesterday we finished work late, or Sunday morning, you know, it's always very tiring because 6 days we are working, still somehow or another, the senses are peaceful. Why? Because they are directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. So never, never underestimate the power of serving your senses for Krishna. The gopis immediately use their senses. They use the dust that touched their feet. And their feet is a sense of touch. They took it and they gave it to Narada. And it was directly contacted to Krishna. And when Krishna heard this and Narada came back with the dust, Krishna smiled and told Narada. And he told the residents of Dwarka, now do you know why the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, why they are considered to be my most exalted devotees? Because they will not hesitate to go to hell. All of you, you don't want to go to hell. Therefore, the motivation is not me. The motivation is how to avoid hell. That is not devotional service. Devotional service means at all costs, we must serve Krishna. Whether our body breaks down while serving Krishna, whether we are very tired while serving Krishna, whether people get tired of us because we are serving Krishna, it doesn't matter. We serve Krishna. Prabhupada writes, you know, further in the purport. He says that someone may be engaged in material existence in the service of some master, but that person doesn't lovingly serve the master. Isn't it true? You find very often when we have to serve our employers, when we have to serve somebody, we don't lovingly do it. We do it because either we are paid or we have to do it. And Prabhupada says the master also feels the same way. It is not that he says, I lovingly give you money. No employer lovingly gives the employee money. He's always cursing, why I have to give this fellow this money. And when he can reduce your money, when he can cut corners somewhere, he will always do it. Always do it. So it doesn't matter. So actually Prabhupada is saying, the master is also not in love with the servant, and the servant is also not in love. He pays for the service, he takes the service. So there is no question of love. But Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying that in spiritual life, we must become elevated to the pure stage of doing something for Krishna without expecting something. This is very important. Sometimes we say to each other that this is a very high state. But Prabhupada said in Lilamrita that until you aim for something high, you will not even go beyond what you are now. If you tell your children that you must aim for distinction, maybe they get merit. But if you tell them to aim for pass, they will fail. So Prabhupada said, if you want to aim for something, at least aim for rhinoceros, he said. Then maybe you'll shoot an ant. But at least you'll shoot an ant. If you aim for ant, Prabhupada said, you shoot only the air. There's nothing left then. So that is why, from the day we start devotional service, we should aspire for this wonderful mood of the gopis. That they did something without expecting something in return. So that is why you find here, in purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna's love for the gopis, because of this mood of theirs, his love for them was very intense. Very intense. And Prabhupada says that the pastime with the gopis was always humorous. Krishna was always smiling most with the gopis. Of course, he smiled when he killed demons also, you know. But that was killing, you know. But with the gopis, it was always transcendental humor. And the gopis also remember that whenever Krishna was there, they used to laugh and laugh. See that episode of Prabhupada Nectar? Actually, when we turn to that page, it was not selected page. It was selected by Krishna. It was just, you know, what page to read. But immediately that story is actually on how the gopis were laughing at Krishna because he told the old lady, he benedicted her that you should get married to a monkey face. And the lady said, no, my desire is to get married to you, Krishna. And the gopis laughed because Krishna was getting married to someone very old. So in that way, Krishna and the gopis, their love for each other was very intense. Why? Because even though Krishna is the master of the six opulences, you all know, if you read the first canto, third chapter, I think 36th verse, in the purport, Prabhupada says very nicely, the real difference between Krishna and all the living entities is only one thing. Krishna is always free of material afflictions. So those who become connected to Krishna, they also become free of material afflictions. It's like these lights, you know. If these lights are not connected to Singapore Power, even you have the most beautiful light in the world, Prabhupada says the light has no value. Because you can't turn it on. What's the point? Looks very nice, but of no use. In the same way, we may look very nice externally as devotees. But if we are not connected to Krishna, then what happens is, no matter how wonderful externally our devotional service looks, internally, we don't have any light in our lives. There is no light. We are very dark. That's why sometimes we become depressed in devotional service. Sometimes we become disturbed. Because our motives are not correct yet. Our motives are not pure. We are still fault-finding. Krishna never found fault with gopis. Gopis never found fault in Krishna. Every time gopis thought, whatever Krishna wants, we give. Because they were very simply in love with Krishna. Simply. Not complicatedly in love with Krishna. In material world, all love is complicated. Isn't it? Because it is exchange. I took this from you. After a while, oh, I'm expecting this. You're not giving. You know. And then we become very confused. Because it becomes a barter trading. And if that is not there, we become dissatisfied. But Krishna never counted gopis. This many times I've helped you. Gopis never counted Krishna. This many times we have done this for you. Never thought that way. Otherwise, the gopis would have weighed all the dust, you know. If we were the gopis, we would have weighed the dust and said, now you ask Krishna, based on all the dust we are giving, how much punya we will get. Or how much we should be getting. But gopis never asked for anything. They said, you take everything. Now we don't want anything. And because they never want anything, Krishna gave everything to them. You see, Ananyaschintyantumam ye janaha paryupasate tesham nitya abhiyuktanam yoga kshema vahami aham. To those who are exclusively devoted to me, Krishna says, I will give them what they lack, but whatever they have, I will also preserve. So gopis never lacked anything, Prabhus and Matajis. They looked unqualified, but they were supremely qualified. They had all the knowledge of the world. Why? Because 1.3.36 of Bhagavatam tells us that Krishna is the master of the six opulences, isn't it? Krishna has all the wealth in the world. Krishna has all the power in the world. Krishna has all the fame in the world. Krishna has all the beauty of the world. Krishna has all the knowledge of the world. And Krishna is the only one who is fully renounced in the world. So all these six opulences only Krishna possesses. But Krishna says in 9.4.64 of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is very important, Krishna tells Durvasa Muni how dear my pure devotees are. And in those verses he says, Naham Atmanam Ashase Mat Bhaktais Sadhu Bir Vina. Vina means no. He says, even though I have all the six opulences with me, he says, Shriyam, the great opulences of Shriyam, they are all together known as Shriyam, very prosperous one who has these opulences. Chadyantikam Brahman. And he says, Yesham Gatir Aham Param. I do not want to enjoy these opulences without my pure devotees. In other words, Krishna, even though he has these six opulences, he finds no taste in them until he enjoys it with his pure devotees. And Krishna enjoyed these six opulences in full capacity with the gopis. That is why the gopis had full knowledge of Krishna consciousness. That's why the gopis were the most beautiful of Krishna's devotees. That's why the gopis, even though they were considered simple maidens with no money in the bank, they were the richest personalities because they had devotional service. That's why they were so powerful that no one could touch the gopis. No one could harm the gopis. They were fully under the protection of Krishna. And that's why they had all power. They had all wealth. And that's why the gopis today are the most famous of devotees of Krishna. Even those people who do not want to accept Krishna, because they are lusty, they remember the gopis, Prabhupada says. Gopis are more famous actually than all the other devotees. And last but not least, it is with the gopis that Krishna gave this nice opulence of pastime of renunciation, which is referred to in the purport also. Because only with the gopis could Krishna actually feel this heightened sense of being with them and being separated from them. And being separated from them, they increase their devotion for Krishna and Krishna increase his remembrance of them. So this chapter is not only about remembrance of Lord Krishna, it's also about Krishna's remembrance of his pure devotees. Because whenever Krishna remembers you, then only you can remember Krishna. This is the point. Very nice, you know. We can only remember Krishna if Krishna remembers us. So if we want to remember Krishna, then we must behave like these great devotees. No motivation in the heart except to please Krishna. And then Krishna himself will remember us. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj told his disciples, we should work in such a way, not that we want to see Krishna, but we should work in such a way that Krishna becomes eager to see us. This is the mood of a devotee. And that is why this verse 9:4:64 is so nice. Now, after this point of reciprocation between Lord and the devotees, Prabhupada actually alludes to the pastime of the devotees with Krishna. And here we find that in Krishna book, there are at least two or three chapters where Krishna's specific pastimes with the devotees are there, especially the gopis. But one pastime that's really nice is when one evening Krishna decided to play his transcendental flute. And in the evening, the gopis always had to go back to their houses because they were all married and they had their husbands. But the moment they heard Krishna's flute being played in the evening, this is his evening pastime, standing in the groves of Vrindavan, the gopis left all their engagements and they went to heed the call of the Lord. And this is so significant that when we take up Krishna consciousness, whenever we have the time for Krishna, we should act in such a way and manage our life in such a way that all engagements must start and end by remembering Krishna. This is the way that the gopis have taught us. So the gopis left everything. And when they came, they sat down with Krishna. They all stood around Krishna. There's a beautiful picture. It's an ISKCON painting. Krishna standing in the grove and the gopis are standing around him. Some of them are placing their elbows on the branches of the trees. And they're just watching Krishna playing his flute. You know? So Krishna played his flute very nicely. And this is the point also stated by Krishna in the 9th canto, 4th chapter. He tells Durvasa Muni, Ye Daragara Putrapta. That was 9:4:64. The verse after that, 9:4:64-65, tells us this point. Ye Daragara Putrapta Pranan Vittam Imam Param. So Krishna is actually so Krishna is so mesmerized and so taken in by his devotees. Why? Because Bhagavatam tells us, these pure devotees, they give up their homes, they give up their wives, they give up their children, they give up their relatives, they give up their riches, they even give up their lives simply to serve me, but without any desire for material improvement in this life or the next. Very nice point. No desire for material improvement. They are willing to put everything in context of Krishna. That's why Prabhupada says, a great devotee doesn't drop his wife and children and become irresponsible. But he places them in the proper context of his life. This is very important. For us, we know that the success of family life and Krishna consciousness is when Krishna comes first. The moment the wife and the children and everything else comes first and Krishna becomes second, then the reciprocation is that you, if you put Krishna as second, how can Krishna put you as first? Ye yata mam prabhidyante tamsta taiva bhajami aham. So according to your reciprocation, to that point, Krishna also reciprocates. So the gopis always put everything else on the side and they put Krishna in the center. The elder gopis, the wives of the brahmanas, you remember? They left the brahmanas who were very busy doing all the fire sacrifice and who refused to give all the offerings to Krishna and Balaram when they were asked. Then Krishna and Balaram told the boys, the gopas, you please go to these wives of the brahmanas. The wives of the brahmanas were gopis. They were in Vrindavan, but they were elder gopis. And they were always meditating and doing devotional service. Their husbands were very strict in understanding and expert on rituals. But they forgot that the whole point of all the rituals was to remember and surrender to Krishna. It's RS. If you remember Krishna, then you surrender to Krishna. If you cannot remember to Krishna, then where is the question of surrender to Krishna? So because they were always remembering Krishna, Krishna knew their hearts. And then he told the boys, forget the husbands. You go to their wives. The wives are the ones who prepared all this food stuff. Not even the husbands. They don't even cook. So you go to them from the back door and you tell them that Krishna and Balaram are very hungry and we are also hungry and we want the food that you want to offer. And they went immediately to see the wives and they said, Krishna and Balaram, they have asked us to come and they are very hungry and they are in the groves of the Vrindavan forest. Immediately the wives of the brahmanas did not even hesitate. Why? They did not consider that, oh, will I be in trouble with the husband? Will I be in trouble? Will there be some material improvement to my status? Nothing like that. They thought, these foolish husbands of ours, they were supposed to make these offerings as offerings for Krishna. Now Krishna is standing before you and you don't want to give it to him. It's crazy. It's like you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The meaning of chanting is that, Krishna, please give me some service so that we are always attached to you. Then the moment you finish chanting, one Prabhu comes, Prabhu, can you help me to clean the fan in Gauranga Center? You say, no, no, Prabhuji, give me some other service. Now you just chanted, Krishna just reciprocated, but you are thinking, what is the greatness of cleaning fans in Gauranga Center, you know? Maybe I should give class, then everyone will see me. You know? So like that we think, we pick, we choose. No, this one I don't want, that one I want. The gopis never picked and choose. They just took whatever that was possible. So that is why they are peaceful and we are struggling. This is the reason. So that's why when we come to Krishna consciousness, we should be very clear like the wives of the Brahmanas. They did not care for the material society. They did not care for what they would get from this. Immediately they told the boys, we are coming, we are coming. They took all the beautiful, all the array of prasad, and they brought it. It was bhoga actually. It was not offered yet. And they brought it all to Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. And when they came before Krishna, in the same way, now in this pastime, when the gopis came before Krishna, Krishna did the same thing. Krishna said, my dear elderly gopis, you're all married to these brahmanas. They have denied us the food. And you have brought us the food. You're very kind. But now you should not stay here. Go home now. Don't hang around now. You'll be in trouble with your husbands. And then the gopis, the elderly gopis said, Krishna, now we have given up everything. Now when we go back, our husbands will reject us because they have actually lost all the bhoga for the fire sacrifice. And we are standing before you because of your beauty, because of your greatness, because of our devotion. We have given up everything. Now you're telling us, go back home. How can you do this to us? In the same way, in Bhagavatam, Krishna also turned to the gopis when they came. They came and he played the flute. And he requested them all through the flute to come to him. They gave up, they sacrificed, they detached, and they renounced. These are three very important words in devotional service. Sacrifice, detachment, and renunciation. These three come automatically on the platform of devotional service. We can know if we are advancing in devotional service, if we are prepared to sacrifice our time for Krishna. We can know that we are gaining some happiness in devotional service if we become detached from this material world. The moment we become detached from this material life, the moment we are detached from material improvement, the moment we are detached from what can I gain from this, then we are really sacrificing. So, to understand detachment, we have to sacrifice. They are not the same. But those who sacrifice and become detached, then ultimately they know how to renounce. Because renunciation is not false renunciation. Renunciation means engagement in Krishna consciousness. Not I surrender, I won't do anything. Prabhu, I'll come to center, I'm highly surrendered, don't give me any service. Huh? Because when I take service, I cannot be detached. So I'm completely detached. Then we should tell you, then don't take prasadam also, Prabhu. Isn't it? You should sacrifice taking prasadam. You should become renounced from prasadam. Just live on love and fresh air. That's very good. But that part we cannot renounce. That part we can't detach. That part we can't sacrifice. So the gopis had these three. They could sacrifice because they were detached. And on that platform they became renounced. The wives of the brahmanas had the same beauty. Sacrifice, detachment and renunciation. But in both cases, the Lord tested them. The Lord surprisingly told them, go home now. Go back to your engagements. Don't waste time here. And both times, the elder gopis and the younger gopis, he told them, it is getting late now, you know. It is already late. Because Krishna started blowing the flute in the evening. He could have blown in the morning, but he never did that. Why? Because if he blew in the morning, there is no sacrifice. The gopis are all around. But he blows in the evening. Now the gopis have to decide what to do. Should I go home or should I be with Krishna? For them, there was no question about it. So sometimes Krishna tests us that way in devotional service. He puts us in a situation where, why is Krishna asking me to sacrifice at this point of my life? Why? Why is it that when programs are going very nicely, suddenly something is happening and, oh, it seems like we are being tested. That is Krishna playing his flute in the evening. That is Krishna playing his flute in the evening. So now he's asking three things from us. Sacrifice, detachment, and renunciation. So he told them, go back, it's very late. The gopis became very sad. The wives of the Brahmanas also became very sad. The wives of Brahmanas said, don't reject us now. We have given up everything. And they embraced Krishna in their hearts. Because for them, he was like a child, you know. All their life, they waited for this one day when all the bhoga can be offered to him. And Krishna knew their heart and fulfilled his desire. And in that way, he told them, he told the wives of the Brahmanas, now you go back home. And don't worry about your husbands. Why? Because yogakshemam vahami aham. True enough, when they went back, their husbands were repenting. They were thinking, very sorry, very sorry. This is nonsense of us. The bhoga was for Krishna. Krishna was standing in front of us and we denied him. What were we doing? And the wives were all right. Nobody was denied. Nobody was in difficulty. This is the greatness of Krishna. So when we think that, oh, when I take up devotion service, I'll be in difficulty, then we don't sacrifice, we don't detach, we don't renounce. But every time Krishna wants us to take that extra step, that's why in devotion service, you have to push yourself. A little push is required. How long we are going to stay at one round, one chanting of, one round of mala, how long? How long we are going to say, minimum 16 rounds, let's keep it at minimum. How long we are going to say that I will read Bhagavatam when I'm going to die? The point is, we don't know when we are going to die. Therefore, when are we going to read Bhagavatam? When is it going to come that we will say, I will wake up for Mangala Arati daily? When? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. How long? So then when the gopis heard this, now we are talking about the pastime of the flute, the younger gopis. Now the gopis begin to cry. And Bhagavatam tells us, they stood there silently before the supreme object of their affection. The gopis said, Krishna, you are very cruel to us. You should not talk to us like this. You are lying. You know we are full-fledged. You know we are surrendered. Please accept us and don't speak in this cruel way. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are free to do whatever you like. But it is not worthy of your position that you treat us in such a cruel way. See, the gopis said, don't treat us in this cruel way. What were they asking? Don't send us back home. That's all they were asking. But they felt by sending us back home, you're being cruel. You're being cruel, you see. But for us, it's very different. For us, if, you know, after we have prasadam on Saturday evening, and we say, Krishna, I want to stay back to clean up. And if Krishna says, stay back and clean up, we'll say, Krishna, don't be cruel. I need to go home. It's the opposite way. If we stay back and do it for Krishna, then we'll say, that is very cruel. But the gopis wanted to stay on. And Krishna denied. So they said that you are very cruel to us. Why do you do this? And now they say, we have come to you. We have left everything behind just to take shelter of your lotus feet. Of course, we know you're completely independent. You can do anything you like. So we cannot force you. But we can only request you. Don't reject us. This is a nice prayer for us whenever we stand before Jagannath. That please, Krishna, Jagannath, you can do whatever you want, but you please don't reject us. This prayer is a very nice prayer, that Krishna should never reject us. If Krishna rejects us, we don't have life. So then the gopis say, we are your devotees. There are many devotees of Lord Narayana. They all worship him for what? For salvation. And then they say, he awards them salvation. And then they say, similarly, how can you reject us when we have no other shelter other than your lotus feet? Indirectly, the gopis were telling Krishna, we are not even asking for salvation. We are just asking that when you play the flute, give us a chance to stand and hear your flute. That's all we are asking. So then the gopis pray nicely. There is no doubt that your instructions are that as women, we should be faithful to our husbands. Because that was Krishna's concern. Your husbands will be wondering where you are. There is no doubt that we should be merciful to children and we should take care of them. But at the same time, we know that the instructions of the sastras are only observed perfectly if we are surrendered under your lotus feet. See the great knowledge of the gopis. The gopis are saying that yes, we have our duties, but our overriding duty, ahaitukam, ahaituki apratihata, our overriding duty is to surrender ourselves under your protection. And when we are under your protection, then everything becomes very pleasing. When Krishna heard this beautiful prayer of the gopis, then he became single-mindedly pleased with their single-minded devotion. This is Ananya Bhakti. This is what Prabhupada says in the purport as unalloyed devotion. Alloyed metal means mixed metal. Unalloyed means no mixing. Prabhupada got this term unalloyed when he was passing through the industrial sections of America. So this is not something you find in sastras. It was found in America. Prabhupada went through all the factories and then he saw a sign that said unalloyed metal. And he asked the devotees, what does unalloyed metal mean? And the devotees said, that means the metal is pure. And Prabhupada said, this is how devotional should be. Devotional service should be unalloyed. See? So this is what the gopis were. So then Krishna became very pleased. And that is why Bhagavatam tells us, even though Krishna is paripurna kamam, he is completely self-sufficient, just to please and reciprocate the devotees, he allowed the gopis to stay and render devotional service to him. And in that grove, for many, many days, Krishna performed the pastime of the rasa dance. And this rasa dance is considered the highest perfection because it was a moment when the gopis could intimately serve Krishna. And the greatness of this dance is each gopi at the time of the dance was genuinely thinking that only Krishna is dancing with me. This is potency of Krishna. Have you met great personalities who are devotees? They speak to you as if they know exactly what is in your heart. Sometimes you sit for Bhagavatam and if the speaker is very realized, you find as if the speaker is speaking about something that is actually only meant for you. But everyone feels the same way. Everyone leaves the Bhagavatam class thinking, oh, this one was for me. Oh, he knows my situation. But when you ask the speaker, they say, no, we only speak Bhagavatam. Why? Because this is Krishna. Krishna is in the heart of everyone. Therefore, every gopi who was 100% surrendered to Krishna, Krishna was 100% surrendered to that gopi. And he made that relationship complete, whole, paripurna kamam. And that gopi became self-sufficient. And did not even think that another gopi is also getting similarly complete satisfaction. This is greatness of Krishna. But what happened was, and now we come to the point of renunciation as being one of the rasas of Krishna and the gopis. What happened was each gopi started thinking, how wonderful this is, that Krishna is only mine. And Krishna is only with me. That he's spending maximum time with me. And the moment the gopis felt this way, Krishna is in the heart of all the gopis. So Krishna began to smile. He was not angry when he felt that. Because when someone loves someone, they always feel you only belong to me. Isn't it? When we have children particularly, we always think these children are mine, only mine. And sometimes husband and wife say, you know, no, the child is more attached to me. No, child is more attached to me. Yeah, child only plays with you, but the child has emotional problems, comes to me. Always it happens. So every one of us exhibits this tendency in the world. We all want someone for ourselves. But in this material world, we want that person for ourselves so that we become happier. It boosts our ego. But the gopis did not want Krishna for themselves because it boosted their ego. Actually, they wanted Krishna for themselves because they felt that this is the perfection of existence. But Krishna thought, better I check this feeling, you know, because no one should think that I am only their domain. This is Krishna's part, which is supremely swarat, independent. So Krishna sometimes is complicated personality. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the very first chapter, in the very first canto, in the very first verse, he says that he is swarat, meaning he's independent. No one can capture Krishna. So when the gopis thought that they were completely with Krishna and Krishna was completely with them, Krishna decided, wait a minute, I also have this independent feature of me, isn't it? So now he exhibits his independence on the strength of renunciation. And in that way, the gopis became very morose. They became very morose. And at that point in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 31st chapter, they sing the beautiful prayers of separation from Krishna. So it looked, you know, like a very terrible, calamitous situation for the gopis. Because suddenly Krishna disappeared. And they sing very nicely. Jayati te dikam janmana vraja shrayata indira shashvat atrahi dayata drishyatam dikshutavakas tvai dritashavas Tvam vichinvate jayati te dikam janmana vraja shrayata indira shashvat atrahi dayita drishyatam dikshutavakas Tvayi tridasavas tvam vichinvate. This is a beautiful verse. And the gopis say, O beloved Krishna, your birth in this land of Raja has made it exceedingly glorious. This is why Vrindavan is glorious, because Krishna walked. This center is glorious because Krishna is here. So wherever Krishna is, that place is glorious. And the gopis say, wherever you are, then Indira, the goddess of fortune, is always there. So wherever Krishna is, Prabhus and Matajis, we are always fortunate. If Krishna is not in our heart, that is greatest misfortune. And they say, it is only for your sake that we are actually maintaining our lives. See the mood of gopis. We cannot tell Krishna, Krishna, only because of you I'm maintaining my life. Krishna says, then, okay, take your life. We'll say, no, I can't. You know, I'm maintaining my life for my wife, my children, my bank balance, CPF, all these things. But gopis felt nothing like that. They said, I'm maintaining my life for you. You are searching everywhere. We are searching everywhere for you. So please appear again before us. So actually this renunciation was very beautiful. Why? Because it increased the devotion of the gopis for Krishna. Isn't it true, Prabhus and Matajis, that even in this material world, when we lose contact with someone whom we love, when we are separated from them, how much heightened remembrance we have of them. So therefore, when Krishna renounces, he does not renounce in the sense of detaching himself from us. He renounces in the sense that we have to increase our devotional service for him. And when we renounce this material world, we renounce to increase our devotional service for Krishna. So actually, separation in Krishna consciousness is not a painful affair. It is a sweet affair. And this the gopis showed that. And the gopis continued to remember Krishna in this way throughout the songs of separation. They chanted his names. They remembered him in all his pastimes. And at the end of that, they say something very nice. Tava katha amritam tapta jivanam kavi biriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi granantiye buridajanaha. They say, the nectar of your words and the description of your activities, what are they? They are the soul and the life of those who are suffering in this material world. This message is for us actually. Because the gopis were never in material world and therefore they were not suffering. So this verse is actually for us. The gopis are instructing us that as long as we hear the description of Krishna's pastimes, as long as we hear the nectar of his words from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, these words will actually soothe the suffering of our hearts. So whenever you are down, Prabhus and Matajis, whenever you have great challenges of Krishna consciousness, even while doing devotional service, remember Tava Kathamritam Tapta Jivanam. Increase your devotional service. Increase your remembrance of Krishna. And you will find that actually in that remembrance, the pain and the difficulties, they will go. The second effect of what the gopis show us in the form of renunciation is that kalmasapaham. Whenever we remember Krishna, all sinful reactions are eradicated. Why? Because sin means to forget Krishna. So when one remembers Krishna, how can there be sin? And how can there be sinful reaction? See the logic of it? Last point of the verse is that there will always be good fortune the moment we remember Krishna. And what is good fortune? Good fortune means service is always there for us to take up and to do for Krishna. So when someone approaches you and says, please, Prabhu, Mataji, we have service, that is considered good fortune. Don't reject it. And these narrations of the gopis and Bhagavatam, we should broadcast it throughout the world, Prabhus and Matajis. That means we must take a Prabhupada's book and we must give it to someone. That's why yesterday Gopinath Prabhu presented this point of 50-50. That each one of us can broadcast the glories by taking the books and giving it to them. What is the value of this talk now? It's only for a few minutes. It will end. But when you give a book, that book is eternal. And the gopis say, those who spread this message, they are considered to be the most munificent. And in that way, having sung and spoken, with their heart and in deep prayer, the gopis begin to weep very loudly. After entire prayers of the songs of separation, they begin to cry. Why? They were very eager to see Krishna. And at that point of time, Krishna appears. Because he became very satisfied that the gopis had regained their humility. Sometimes when we become proud, Krishna will check us. Sometimes you'll find that we are embarrassed by material nature, even while in devotional service. That embarrassment is good. Sometimes a devotee comes up to us and says, Prabhu, cannot do this in Krishna consciousness. Mataji, cannot chant this way. Our false ego immediately picks up and says, how can you tell me that? Who are you to tell me that? I'm older to you, or I'm younger to you, or I'm more senior to you. We see all these material considerations. I'm more educated to you. I went for Bhakti Sastri course. Did you go for Bhakti Sastri course? No. I've gone for the ISKCON disciple course. Have you completed it? No. All these things we speak about. But we don't realize that every time this happens, instead of becoming humble, we'll become proud. Those who become proud, there is no space in the heart for Krishna. Those who become humble, there is plenty of space in the heart for Krishna. And that is why Krishna wanted to teach us the value of humility when there is renunciation. Those who renounce, automatically they become humble. You will realize this is very true in our own lives. Every time we have renounced something, we are forced to become humble. Sometimes we don't renounce something. Sometimes something renounces us. Have you noticed that in material life? Sometimes we think, I'm very great, Prabhu, I'm renouncing you. But sometimes the life is such, Prabhu, you are being renounced. We are renouncing you. That becomes more painful to us. It pinches us, you know. But all this is useful. That is why Krishna's pastime of renunciation with the gopis is very instructive. It is instructive for us. And in response to their query, Krishna says something very nice. He says, friends and society show affection for each other only to benefit themselves. But you have shown me what true friendship is. Because in actual world, there is no true friendship. Why? Because everyone is just expecting benefit for themselves. Then Krishna goes on to say, sometimes persons who devotedly serve, they fail to reciprocate. And when they fail to reciprocate, they also become morose in this material world. So Krishna ends to say, but the reason why I do not reciprocate immediately with you sometimes is so that you intensify your devotion for me. So Krishna told and explained to the devotees, the gopis. Gopis, the poor man, sometimes you give him some wealth. He becomes very exalted and happy, isn't it? Because he has never had wealth, Krishna says. Then Krishna says, then he loses that wealth. What happens? He gains value for it. He becomes more anxious for it. So that which you gain fleetingly and you lose actually increases your remembrance of that object. It's scientific. So in the same way, Krishna told the gopis, whatever time that you have with me, you should never take it for granted. This is what Krishna's lesson to us in devotional service is. Our time is going, Prabhus and Matajis. It is really going. Even now it is going. But if we don't use that time for Krishna, we are taking Krishna for granted. And after patiently explaining this wonderful science of service to the gopis, Krishna then ended that entire chapter with a most wonderful verse. You can chant with me this verse. Na paraye. Sorry. Na paraeham. Niravadya samyujyam. Swasadu krityam. Vibhudha susapiyaha. Yama bhajandu. Jarageha sankrilaha samvrichya tadva pratiyatu saduna na parayeham niravadya samyujam swasadu krityam vibhudhayu sapivaha yama bhajandu Jarageha Shrinkala Samvrichya Tadva Pratiyatu Sadhuna. This verse comes in the 10th canto, 32nd chapter, 22nd verse. And this verse is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. The translation is very nice. Krishna says, because of all this greatness of your devotional service, I find myself in an inexplicable situation. And what is that? I am unable to repay my debt for your spotless service. We are always indebted to Krishna because we can never repay the debt to our eternal spiritual master. Krishna is always our guide and he has taken us out from the darkness of ignorance. So we cannot repay our debt to him. But to the gopis, Krishna said, I can't repay my debt to you. Why? Because of your spotless service. Even within this lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay my debt to you. Then Krishna says, your connection with me is beyond reproach. It is perfect. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are very difficult to break. And Krishna ends by saying, please let your own glorious deeds be your own compensation. Such a nice point. He says, I am defeated, gopis. I tried to renounce you. I can't. I came back to you. I thought by renouncing you, you will forget me. Instead, you have increased your remembrance of me. I thought that if I asked you for dust, you will say, no, I want salvation. But you're willing to give me bags and bags and bags of dust. I thought by blowing the flute in the evening, you all cannot come because you are in difficulty. But you dropped everything and you came. I thought by putting you in most difficult situations, you will forget me. But you have not forgotten me. I thought by cheating you after staying 11 years here and leaving you, and then after cheating you again by promising you I'm coming back very quickly, I thought you will give me up. But despite all my cheating of you, despite all my cruelty to you, you have just increased your devotional remembrance of me. In that situation, how can I repay my debt to you? And Prabhupada says, this is the only time in the entire history of Bhagavatam when Krishna declares that he is defeated. This is the only history that we have where Krishna puts both hands up and say, I surrender. I cannot fight you, gopis. You have won the day. And that is why the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, 4th chapter, 180 verse. Prabhupada concludes this point. He says, in conclusion, the gopis became eternally glorious by their behavior and by the Lord's temporary absence. Why? Because their intense remembrance of him was so great that Krishna could not repay his debt to him. And that is why Prabhu and Matajis, Prabhupada concludes so nicely by saying this point, you know. He says that even though Krishna is not visible at present in Vrindavan, he is not away from Vrindavan for a moment. In other words, if we continue with uninterrupted devotional service because we don't have any motive in our heart except to serve Krishna and the devotees, then Krishna will never leave us for a moment. Not even a single moment. This is Vrindavan. It is not the physical form of Vrindavan that we should hanker for. Going to Vrindavan once a year is nice. But being in Vrindavan atmosphere 24 hours a day is what the gopis were. That's why it didn't matter to them that Krishna was not there or whether he was there. He was always being remembered by him. Even when he stole their garments, you know, he did that only to fulfill their desire, isn't it? When he stole their garments, the gopis were bathing in Yamuna. And they were bathing because they were supposed to pray to Krishna that he would become their husbands. They prayed to Mother Durga, goddess Katyayani. Why? Because they wanted to have Krishna as their husband. But Krishna thought how to become their husbands, because they were already married. Husband means chosen Lord. And for them, their chosen Lord was always Krishna. So he thought the best way is that I will take their garments away while they are bathing. And I will tell them that the only way to please me, and if you want your garments back, is to appear before me without garments. And Prabhupada says in Shastra, no woman appears before anyone except her husband without any clothes. Therefore, by standing before Krishna in that way, Krishna confirmed to the gopis that whatever situation of life they are in, he would always be their chosen Lord. This is the chastity of his pastime. And Prabhupada ends on this point in the gopis' ras dance with Krishna. Prabhupada says that the gopis were with Krishna. They were dancing, but the gopis were 8 years of age. And so was Krishna. At 8 years old, which child has lusty desires? No, they are innocent in their hearts. So it is a mistake for us to see Krishna's affection for the gopis along the lines of material enjoyment. They were 8 years old. Their love for Krishna was anything but lusty. And Prabhupada goes on in Krishna book to say that the gopis were given the chance to enjoy with Krishna in the Ras dance every single night while their physical bodies were asleep. They were actually with Krishna in their spiritual bodies. It is found in Krishna book. So that makes it very clear that the gopis were highly chaste and highly pure. We should never mistake the gopis' love for Krishna on any platform remotely material. And we should never ever think that we can equal the gopis' love for Krishna. We should become servants of the 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 gopis. Gopi bartuhu pada kamalayo das anudas anudas anudas. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Itai Gaura Premanande. I can take one question before we leave. Would anyone like to ask a question? Any violent objections? It's so nice to see so many devotees for Bhagavatam. Please keep coming. Bhagavatam doesn't depend on speaker. Bhagavatam depends on Bhagavatam. Always remember that. Bhagavatam never depends on speaker. Bhagavatam depends on Bhagavatam. Same thing for Kirtan. Kirtan doesn't depend on singer. Kirtan depends on chanting the holy names of the Lord. Don't be in the habit of calling and asking who's doing Kirtan today. Who's taking class today? No. Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, if you don't know anything, you read 2 lines of the purport, close the book, Haribol, end of class. That's fine. That's enough. 20 years ago, that's how we started classes on Bhagavatam. I remember the first time I had to take class was because all the devotees who were supposed to take class, either they were sick, or they were going to die, or they were in the hospital. It was amazing. 3 devotees. First choice, second choice, third choice. All of them were either at the point of, you know, critical condition or they had some problem. So then I called my Guru Maharaj and said, Maharaj, I'm not prepared for the class. Maharaj said, no problems. Sit down there, chant Jai Radha Madhava, read the purport, chant the shloka, repeat the shloka, read word to word, and after reading word to word, read the translation, repeat translation, read the purport, finish reading the purport, read again, say Haribol, thank you very much. And that's exactly what I did. And after I finished that in the Ram temple, you won't believe it, somebody came up to me and said, that was a very nice class. And I told them, it was the purport. He said, the purport is the class. This man had no connection to our movement. He said, in our tradition, purport is the class. It is the class of the Acharya. He was from Sri Sampradaya. He told me, when a purport is given by Acharya, that is the class. So the class is very nice. And he walked away. I never saw him again. And I remember calling Guru Maharaj and telling him, Maharaj, this is what happened. And Maharaj said, foolish man, you don't have faith in Prabhupada. And this man has more faith in Prabhupada. So why are we after anything else? It's the mind that stops us. Just hearing the Prabhupada is enough. That's why when Krishna spoke that verse, you know, the verse of not repaying the debt, there's one point I forgot. The word niravadya samyujam is very important. Is the qualification of the gopis. Krishna says, those who are completely free from deceit. This is the greatness of the gopis. That is why we come to hear Bhagavatam, so that we don't become deceitful. By choosing who to hear from and who not to hear from, eventually we become deceitful. Because we are trying to find the ways not to hear Bhagavatam. Don't do that. Come and hear. Make this our life. Thank you very much for your time. I won't see you all next week because I'll be away. And I won't see you all the week after also because I'll be away. But Krishna willing, you know, let us keep continue. Please come to hear the Bhagavatam. Continue to take shelter of each other's devotional service and serve each other so that we can become very much fixed in nice devotional service. Hare Krishna. Also, Damodar month is here. The first day of Damodar will be on Sunday. Next Sunday, it will be in this center and it will be in the morning. So we'll have a nice program. we'll have a nice talk, a short talk on the glory of Damodar, and then all of us can light lamps, and then please have as many programs as possible. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Shri Gurudev ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. Prasadam is being served downstairs. Please come and have the feast. Hare Krishna.